We're going to be in the book of Job again tonight. Good to see you all here. I know that we have a full house of kids and youth. It was full of kids and youth over here. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what you'd like to hear? A bunch of kids and youth. Amen. You know what that means? It means the church is alive, ain't it? We're going to be in Job chapter 11. Over the past few weeks, we've started the book of Job. And Job's friends have come onto the scene. And they're giving Job advice. And you just have to bear with this book, because toward the end of Job, it'll all start coming together. And again, these friends that are giving Job advice, because we know that Job is going through a lot right now in his life. He's lost his children. He's lost his livestock. He's lost his health. He's lost everything. And the friends come to the rescue to help. And really, they didn't. But, you know, they're looking at it as, what have you done wrong, Job? In order for all this to happen to you, what have you done for this to come upon you? And so you'll see at the end what God thinks about the friends and their advice that they give. Before we even get started, I just want to share with us about how it's important that we first get wisdom from God before we get wisdom from anyone else. We first go to the Lord before we go to anyone else. We seek the counsel from God before we get the counsel from anyone else. And so it's not to say that you don't get counsel from others, but be careful about who you get counsel from. And make sure that the people that you're getting counsel from, that they're walking with the Lord. And at the same time, you're getting counsel from them, make sure that it lines up with the Scriptures. Make sure that everything lines up with Scripture. We need to be like the Bereans in everything, to make sure that everything lines up with Scripture. So in chapter 11, we're going to see another friend that's going to come on the scene. So let's go, Lord, in prayer before we get started. Hello, Mimi. How are you? Father God, we just thank you once again for another wonderful privilege and opportunity to open up the Word of God, to be able to read it and to look at it, to study it, to learn from it, to grow from it. Lord, again, we are reminded that we don't read the Bible for information, but we read it for transformation. And Lord, that any time we get into the Word of God, we come away changed. We come away different. Because your word is sharper than any double-edged sword. And so, Father, tonight, we know that the word of God speaks loud and clear. And there may be something in here that will speak to us differently than it will our neighbor. And so, Father, we just ask that you speak to us tonight, that you disciple us, that you guide us through the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for this book, and we know that it is a tough book. So Lord, that's why we need your wisdom. And so Lord, teach us. In your name we pray. Amen. In chapter 11, in verse 1, we're just again, mainly what we're doing is just reading through the book of Job, and we will pause at different points. We will ask questions at different points. We will ponder different things. And again, I want to stay close to the Scriptures, because if we're not careful, we will shout our opinions more than we will look at God's Word. And so I want to stick closely to God's Word. There's a lot here that I don't understand. There's a lot that maybe we don't understand, and again, that's okay too. So what you don't understand, again, you hang down here. What you do understand, you hang up here. And when this other makes sense, then you can move it up okay? So there's a lot of stuff, a lot of things that we don't understand. Just bear with it, okay? All right. Then Zophar, the Namathite, replied, "Should this abundance of words go unanswered, and such a talker be acquitted? Should your babbling put others to silence, so that you can keep on ridiculing with no one to humiliate you?" What a friend, right? I mean, what advice here we're getting. "You have said, 'My teaching is sound, and I am pure in your sight.' But if only God would speak and open his lips against you, he would show you the secrets of wisdom. For true wisdom has two sides." Now, I want to remind us, because we have to be reminded. I don't know about you, I have to be reminded. What was the reason why God sent Satan to Job? He was what? He was upright, and he was what? Righteous. He was upright, he was righteous, he was blameless. So God himself came out and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Number one, he called him a servant. Sometimes if we're not careful, we just pass right over that. He was a servant. He was one who served others. He served God. He did not for himself. He did for God's people. And so God himself called him a servant, called him upright, called him righteous, called him blameless. So we have to remember that. And here these friends are coming, giving him this advice that they probably should keep to themselves, but God has a plan in all of it. Okay? So for true wisdom has two sides. Know then that God has chosen to overlook some of your iniquity. How do you know, friend, that God has chosen to overlook some of your iniquity? Is that an assumption? Is that an opinion? This is that advice. Can you fathom the depths of God or discover the limits of the Almighty? So in this, you'll see true statements that you and I would say on a daily basis. Would we not say we can't fathom the depths of God? We can't, can we? I mean, it doesn't matter how hard you try. Even the wisest Christian can't even fathom the depths of God's wisdom and of his mercy. So can you fathom the depths of God and discover the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. He's speaking here of the depths, the height, the riches of God. Absolutely, absolutely correct. If he passes by and throws someone in prison or convenes a court, who can stop him? Surely he knows which people are worthless. If he sees iniquity, will he not take note of it? But a stupid person will gain understanding as soon as a wild donkey is born a human. I mean, is that our everyday conversation? It's not our everyday conversation. And so what would you say if one of your friends come up and said that to you? Jack, I'm just curious. I can pick on you. What would you do if someone come up? I just wonder. How would you respond to that? I just do that on purpose because I never know what Jack's going to say. As for you, here he is. He's being pointed. As for you, if you redirect your heart and spread out your hands to him in prayer, if there is iniquity in your hand, we don't quite understand. And let's just be honest, we don't quite understand fully the sovereignty of God. Let's just, because in this, they were believing and thinking that all of this has come on Job because he must have sinned. He must have done something wrong. It must be in his court, and in order for him to get it out of his court, he's got to do this, this, and this. He's got to check off these boxes in order for everything else. And what they're not seeing here is that what Job said at the beginning with his wife, do we not just get good from God and not bad? See, we've talked before not too long ago from the book of James that there are temptations, and they come from where? Satan, the devil, and then there are tests. And where does tests come from? From God. And what is this at the very beginning? It was a test from God. And in all of this, we think, boy, this is one huge test. It is one big test. But anything that comes from God is good, right? Anything that comes from, and we're careful about saying that because we're saying, whoa, yes, but I don't think I can handle what Job's gone through. And so we know that this is a test that's going on. And these friends aren't looking at it as a test. They're looking at it as Job must have sinned. Or Job's must have done something wrong. Get with it, Job. You got to get your priorities right. You got to get things in line. And so think about this, okay? Let's put this in perspective for a minute. Think about a time in your life that you went through a really bad trial. You went through something that's really, it was really tragic. And then all of a sudden you have some friends come over to your house to console you, and they say to you, well, this has happened probably because you've sinned. This has happened because you're probably not living your life right. This has probably happened because of something that you must have done. Does not the Bible say that God gives life and God can take it away? Has it not been said that your name has been written when you're going to be born and when you will die? I mean, every single one of us, do you know that you were born on that date that you were born, on that time that you were born? Do you know that that wasn't by an accident? It just didn't happen. God had planned that from the foundations of the world. And do you and I know that our death, the day that we breathe our last, is from the foundations of the world? Can you imagine for a moment if you knew that date? Y'all know Jesus did. And so when we look at the Old Testament, we also got to look that everything in the Old Testament points to the New Testament. Did not Jesus have to suffer? Did not Jesus go through agony? Did not the Father crush His only Son? If Jesus went through the agony and the suffering that He went through, what makes us think that we don't? And so when we look at this, because there is a teaching out there, and there is a people out there that is called progressive Christianity, that is called an easy believism, that all you have to do is give your life to Christ and everything will go well. That's false. It's not biblical. I mean, you just take the disciples alone. Every single one of them died. I know this isn't popular preaching. And I know this isn't popular teaching. But I would rather give you the truth than to tickle your ears. The truth, the Bible says, will what? The truth will set you free. And so we have to look at it as a whole. And let's just go on. I was a shotgun right there. Every now and then I'll be a shotgun, okay? I'll spread out. It's called, some people call that chasing rabbits. But anyway, I just felt like I had to hammer that home. Where am I at? Oh, for you, no. Okay, thank you. 19? I'm at 12. The stupid person. But a stupid person will gain understanding as soon as a wild donkey is born a human. As for you, if you redirect your heart and spread out your hands to him in prayer, if there is iniquity in your hand, remove it. And don't allow injustice to dwell in your tents. Then you will hold your head high, free from fault. You will be firmly established and unafraid. For you will forget your suffering, recalling it only as water that has flowed by your life, that has flowed by. Your life will be brighter than noonday. Its darkness will be like the morning. You will be confident because there is hope. You will look carefully about and lie down in safety. You will lie down with no one to frighten you, and many will seek your favor. But the sight of the wicked will fail. Their way of escape will be cut off, and their only hope is their last breath. And then we see a transition where Job is going to reply to his friends, or to this friend that has just spoke. In chapter 12, verse 1, then Job answered, "No doubt you are the people and wisdom. No doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I also have a mind like you. I am not inferior to you. Who doesn't know the things you are talking about? I am a laughingstock to my friends by calling on God who answers me." Did y'all get that? "I am a laughingstock to my friends by calling on God who answers me." You know, as a Christian and as a believer, there will be times in your life that there will be people who will laugh. They don't believe like you do. They won't think like you do. As a matter of fact, they think your thinking is warped and theirs isn't. And so they will scoff and they will laugh, and there will be times of that. And as you walk with the Lord closer and more prevalent, and that will happen more and more. "But I also have a mind like you, and I'm not inferior to you, who doesn't know the things you are talking about. I am a laughingstock to my friends by calling on God who answers me. The righteous and upright man is a laughingstock." I find something else really neat in this that he just said. Did y'all get what he said about talking to the Lord? What does God do for him? He answers him. So in this, it's telling me that there's been time and time and time and time again that Job has called on the Lord and the Lord has answered him. He's not going to the time he's going through right now, because we know that he's been calling out to the Lord. And sometimes we can get impatient when we're asking the Lord for something. Because what we want is we want the Lord to answer us right now. "Lord, don't you understand what I'm going through right now? Don't you know what I'm dealing with right now? God, I need you right now to be able to fix what's going on right now." Job believed faithfully of all the times that God's answered him. And I just believe that he knows that God's going to answer him in God's time. And he that's faith, when you're asking God and knowing that you're asking by His will, and He's going to answer you in His time. We have not because we ask not. And if you and I ask according to the will of God, then it says that He will give those things to you. But many times we don't ask according to the will of God. We ask according to my need at the moment or my time. Aren't you, I've said this before, aren't you glad for unanswered prayers? I mean, you probably wouldn't be married to who you're married to. Because you, back in eighth grade, you just had to marry that one person. And God, if you would just let them. And aren't you glad that God didn't answer that? I mean, God, if you would just do this for me. And then you think, and all of a sudden, God didn't answer that for you. See, sometimes God will say yes. Sometimes God will say no. And sometimes God will say wait. There was another guy in the Bible by the name of Paul who had a thorn in his flesh. And he had asked the Lord to remove that thorn from his flesh. Now, we don't know exactly what that thorn was. Now, I want y'all to hush because you're probably thinking about the thorn you have. And don't look to the person next to you. You've been a thorn in my flesh. Nah, teasing. I'm teasing. But then God came back and literally said, no, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. And so there's times that maybe you ask God for it and God says, my grace is sufficient. And so there's growing as you wait in the hallway for the door to open. And so sometimes it's not a bad thing to be in the hallway waiting for the door to open. That's when we learn the most. And so he says, the one who is at ease holds calamity in contempt, and think it is prepared for those whose feet are slipping. The tents of robbers are safe, and those who trouble God are secure. God holds them in his hands. But ask the animals, and they will instruct you. Ask the birds of the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will instruct you. Let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? The life of everything living thing is in His hand. You can look at a bird and know that the Lord cares for it. I mean, the fish of the sea, the Lord cares for it. Everything that we see, the Lord is already caring for. Right now, this is one of my favorite times of year, because right now you're seeing the robins, they're collecting little twigs, little branches. The hummingbirds, guys, are on the way. I've already heard rumors that they're in the area. So get your feeders out. Isn't that neat how they migrate and how they go back? And do you know who instructs all that? The Lord. The Lord, yeah. God, I've read up on that. They go into a hibernation part which protects them whenever it gets cold. So yeah. And so I've thought often about God's creation and how God's creation alone worships Him. And so I thought about, you know, the time that, you know, the crossing of the Red Sea and how God parted the Red Sea. Can you imagine all the sea creatures coming up to the wall and watching God's people passing on dry land? I mean, you got that crappie right there. You got that catfish and you got that bass and all those different ones. And they're seeing the hand of God and the wind blowing it up and drying the ground. And man, did they not have an audience watching them as they crossed on dry ground. That little fish was right there on the sea watching that. You ever watch an eagle fly high above? I mean, if we would just sometimes just slow down, I'm talking we, all of us, and just take in all that God has created, all that God has made, we would live every day in wow of His creation. I want us to know tonight that God has everything in control. Your family, this church, your life, your situation. There's nothing out of His control. And so, yeah, all of creation speaks, even the earth speaks. The life of everything living thing is in His hands, as well as the breath of all mankind. Of the breath of all mankind. Your heartbeat is directed by God. Everything is directed by God. And Job is bringing that out. Doesn't the ear test words as the palate tastes food? I love the palate. Yeah. Especially when that ding-dong cake comes for my birthday by Miss Crabtree. Hint. Wisdom is found with the elderly, and understanding comes with long life. You remember when you was 18? Boy, you thought you were wise, didn't you? You thought you knew it all. I did. My parents couldn't even tell me anything when I was 18 because I knew more than they did. As a matter of fact, I thought I knew more than they did starting at 14. All the way. And to all of a sudden, who I thought didn't know anything, I thought, well, you know, they know a little bit. And then as I got older, I thought, well, they know a lot. And as you lose them, you thought, well, I wish I could talk to them one more time. Because you realize that how much they knew. And then that just goes along with life, that as we get older, you know, we want to tell young people, listen to me. We've been there, but you know as well as I do, some of them are hard-headed. And they got to learn on their own. Lewis, do you ever have to learn from mistakes? Yeah. And so there's these things in our life, but just because you don't think they're listening, keep sharing. Keep giving that wisdom away. Keep sharing those life experiences that you've gone through. Don't be afraid to share the pains. Don't be afraid to share the victories. Share those things with them. And listen, I want to encourage you. It's okay to apologize to your kids. It's okay to let them know that you've messed up when you mess up. You don't have to say, "Oh, I'm not strong if I got to confess." No. You are strong. What you're teaching them is transparency. You're teaching them that there is no one perfect except Jesus. You're teaching them how to forgive. You're teaching them how to accept forgiveness. And so it's okay to do those things. It's part of wisdom. Wisdom and strength belong to God. Counsel and understanding are His. I want us to pause there for a minute. Wisdom and strength belong to God. What do we pray for? We ask God to give us wisdom, right? He holds the wisdom. He holds the strength. God, I need Your wisdom. I need Your strength. I know I don't have it in and of myself. I know that You hold it. And God, I need it. I need it to lead my family. I need it to lead my children. I need it to lead my grandchildren. And I know that I don't have wisdom without you. So I need your wisdom. Counsel and understanding are His. Whatever He tears down cannot be rebuilt. Now, let me emphasize that. Whatever He tears down cannot be rebuilt if He doesn't want it rebuilt. Okay? Whoever He imprisons cannot be released. When He withholds water, everything dries up. And when He releases it, it destroys the land. We read that in the flood, right? True wisdom and power belong to Him. And the deceived and the deceiver are His. He leads counselors away barefoot and makes judges go mad. He releases the bonds put on by kings and fastens a belt around their waist. Now again, let's pause. Think about our world we're living in. Think about, because this is only the time that we know is the time that we've lived in, right? We've seen a lot of changes in our time. And so we see that He leads counselors away barefoot and makes judges go mad because they can't understand God. The unbelieving judge can. And even the believing judge can't fathom it. And so He leads counselors away barefoot. He makes judges go mad. He releases bonds put on by kings and fastens a belt around their waist. He leads priests away barefoot and overthrows established leaders. He deprives trusted advisors of speech and takes away the elders' good judgment. He pours out contempt on nobles and disarms the strong. Give me a time in the Bible where God disarmed a strong. Samson? Yeah. Any time in the Bible? Yeah. There's multiple times. There was a powerful army and God just showed them. Any other time that you can remember? Yeah. Jack?
He's talking about the 185,000 Assyrians.
Any other things that come to your mind? Huh? Goliath, yeah, absolutely. David and Goliath. David was what? Ruddy? Small boy? David didn't see how big Goliath was. He only saw how big his God was. What else? You ever notice, too, that whenever the Israelites crossed over into the Promised Land, God gave them victory as long as they follow God. As long as they listen to God. But when they didn't listen to God and they stole or they hoarded or they did anything, what did God do? God defeated them. God conquered them. And so we see that God has power to give victory. God has power to conquer. I don't know how that speaks to you, but I want God to go before me. Because if you go in and of your own power and you go against what God says, guess what's coming your way? Defeat. Have y'all ever been defeated? Yes, absolutely. And so I find often that when I try to do it on my own, try to do it in my own strength, try to do it on my own accord, try to do it my own way, God says, okay, see how that works for you. And it doesn't work for you very long. But whenever you give it over to the Lord and you say, God, I come to you with empty hands. I come to you not with a wise mind, but I need your wisdom and I need you to fill my hands. I need you to give me speech to speak. I need you to give me understanding to teach. God has always been faithful. Now, there was a time early in my ministry, I thought that I had it all figured out. And I was preaching at many churches. I told you all this, not all of you, but some of you. And I was going to preach on Revelation. I was 3 months into ministry. I was 3 months into being saved. And I was going to preach on Revelation. And I got in there and God showed me what for. And so I got it at Sharp Missionary Baptist Church. I passed by it all the time. And I think that's in God's reminder of who you are and who He is. And so I got up there and I began to preach and forgot everything that I had written down and everything that I had thought about all week long. There was 100 babies crying. I was sweating. I got fumbled. And it was Babel. I just read the rest of it, got in the car. Cammie didn't say a word to me all the way home. I cried all the way home. Cammie didn't have to say anything to me. I got in my room, and it just simply was this: you try to do it of your own accord, and that's what happened. And he popped my head that day. And I realized from that day on, every time I get ready to preach, I say, God, I can't, you can. God, I can't, you can. Just let me proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And it was that day that I was one of those that went into that camp thinking I can do it. And God said, you can't without me. And I need Him to go before me. I need Him to be behind me. I need Him to be over me. I need Him to be under me. I need Him to be on both sides of me. And that's what we all need. Give me 3 minutes. Yes, absolutely. I'm going to test you all. Where are we at? Let's say verse 20. Where are we at, Sheila? He deprives trusted advisors of speech and takes away the elders' good judgment. He pours out contempt on nobles and disarms the strong. He reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings the deepest darkness into light. He makes nations great. And then He destroys them. He enlarges nations. Then He leads them away. He deprives the world's leaders of reason. And makes them wander in trackless wasteland. Well, that sounds familiar. They grope around in darkness without light. He makes them stagger like a drunkard. I'm done. We will stop right there, and then we will come back at 13. So we covered 2 chapters tonight.